The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Job chapter 33. And when you get there, say amen. In Job chapter 33, beginning at verse 14, for God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. What is God saying in these verses? God is saying that he speaks in one way or another. But the problem is, oftentimes we don't perceive the voice of the Lord. God even speaks to us in dreams and visions of the night. When deep sleep falls upon us and we're slumbering on our beds, God will speak a word in your ear. Is that right? And here the word says that God does that to seal the instructions he has given us. God wants every one of us to be on a path of righteousness. He wants every one of us to be in the way and not out of the way. Can you say amen? So what God does, he speaks to us many times to seal his instructions for our lives, to turn us away from what would be our evil deeds. And God also speaks to us to prevent us from being lifted up in pride. And he does all that to keep our souls from the pit, from destruction, and our lives from perishing by the sword. In other words, perishing by the weapons of the enemy. And the enemy has devised many weapons, but we ought not to be ignorant of his devices. Amen? Now, for the last several weeks, I've been talking about the third ear. I begin these series of messages talking about listening with the third ear. Then I talked about the voice of the Lord. And last week I talked about, in fact, I posed the question, will God speak to me? And those of you here, by the time you left this service, you knew from the Word of God, yes, God will speak to you. And today I'm simply calling this message, When God Speaks. When God Speaks. Now here in Job chapter 33, the words of Elihu is recorded. Now Job had four friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and Elihu. These are Job's friends, sorry friends. And they all debated with Job about his plight. They all accused Job of secret sin. They accused Job of self-righteousness. They accused Job of something else. They accused him of. They accused him of pride, being lifted up in pride. Amen? But they were all wrong. They were all wrong. However, Elihu is right about how God speaks, as we just read in verses 14 through 18. But even the wrong can be right. There's a lot of folk that are just outright wrong, but sometimes they're right. And here Elihu is right about God speaking to us one way or another. And I don't want you to miss this. Neither do I want you to discount this, because these are the words of Elihu, because Elihu is actually right this time. Even a broke clock is right twice a day. Don't you ever think you're always right and everybody else is always wrong. Even the wrong can be right. Is that right? So Job's greatest test wasn't his pain and suffering. His greatest test was not knowing why he was suffering. And our greatest test in life may be the same. Our greatest test in life may be learning to hear and listen to the voice of God to appreciate God's goodness. Beloved, God is good all the time. Whether you understand it, you don't understand it, whether it brings pain to your life or brings comfort to your life, God is good all the time. It's within his nature to be good. That's why he's God. And so our greatest test in life may be learning to trust God's goodness. And to do that, we must learn to be ready to listen and hear the voice of the Lord with that third ear. Is that right? Even though we don't understand what's happening to us, why things are going a certain way in our lives. Have you been there? Something was happening to you and you didn't understand why. Things were going a certain way in your life and you really couldn't make any sense out of it. Well, Job was in the same position. Job didn't understand why he was going through. So his greatest test wasn't the pain and the suffering. It was not knowing why he was in so much pain and he was suffering. So like Job, instead of complaining, we need to learn to hear with the third ear that voice of the Spirit. We need to learn to hear what God is saying. Now turn to Exodus, the 20th chapter. Exodus, the 20th chapter. And I want to show you from the word of the Lord that God speaks in many ways. So don't put him in a box. God speaks in many ways. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, here Moses had come down from Mount Sinai and he had given the people of God the Ten Commandments. He had rehearsed the Ten Commandments in the ears of the people. And in verse 18, it says, now all the people witnessed the thundering, the lightning flashing, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So Moses stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Why did Moses draw near? Because Moses understood the thick darkness as being the voice of the Lord. Here the Lord is speaking to Israel from Mount Sinai. He is speaking with thunder, lightning, the sound of trumpets. He is speaking with dark smoke. Dark smoke is billowing from the mountain. He is speaking to Israel. And Israel says, we do not want to hear what God is saying to us. Moses, you speak to us, and we will obey you. And of course, that was a lie, of course. For sure that was a lie. But here we see something among the children of Israel that we see in this day and this time. Some of you rather hear the word of man than you would the word of the Lord. Why are we afraid to hear the voice of the Lord? Israel were afraid because it says if we hear the voice of the Lord, we're going to die. Moses says you won't die. God is only testing you so you might not sin against him. But if you're one of those that rather hear the voice of man rather than the voice of God, you need to correct. I mean, you need to self-correct sooner than later. Don't put God in a box. Yes, God will speak with thunder. He'll speak with lightning, flashes of lightning. He'll speak with the sound of trumpets. And he surely will speak with smoke and darkness. Is that right? God speaks to us in many ways. Many ways. Psalm 68 verse 33 tells us that God speaks to us with a mighty voice. Revelation chapter 1 verse 15 tells us God speaks to us as the sound of many waters. Then in Revelation chapter 1 verse 10 and chapter 4 verse 1, the word tells us that God speaks to us as the sound of a trumpet. But the point is, God speaks to his people in many ways. I've had God speak to me through a bumper sticker. Very recently, I had God speak to me through a license plate. A license plate that said, Nahum 1:9. The affliction shall not return the second time. And I knew that was the word of the Lord for one of the brothers in this church. I knew that was the word of the Lord. But we want to put a limit on God. We want to say, well, that's just a coincidence. There are no coincidences in God's kingdom. Everything that happens to you happens for a reason. God knows you're rising up and you're lying down. He knew you before you knew yourself. And we need to wake up and recognize when God is speaking. And don't discount it. And we need to ask the question, Lord, what are you saying to me? I'm telling you, God speaks in many ways. So we read in our text in Job that God was speaking one way or another. One way or another. Is that right? How many know that God speaks through animals? He speaks through nature. He speaks through the elements. Don't you look at me like that. In Numbers chapter 22, when the prophet of Balaam was on his way to curse Israel, the angel of the Lord stood in the path, and his donkey saw the angel of the Lord even before he did, and he was supposed to have been a prophet. And the donkey immediately ran off the road, smashed his foot against a brick wall, and he struck the donkey. In fact, he struck the donkey three times because the donkey was able to see the Lord when the prophet couldn't see the Lord. Is that right? And the Lord used the donkey to say to the prophet, why are you striking me? I have done nothing to you. Basically, the donkey said, you hit me for nothing. How's it that God uses a donkey to speak to a prophet? Had the donkey not spoken to the prophet would have ended up cursing the people of God. And God didn't want his people cursed. He wanted his people blessed. And as a result of the donkey speaking to the prophet was instructed by the angel of the Lord to go with the men that was sent to receive him. But he says, you only say what I tell you to say. And they hired Balaam to curse Israel. But when Balaam got up to prophesy, he only blessed Israel. Hello, somebody. He was God's prophet. But he was a prophet with a spirit of what we call Baalism. He prophesied for profit, for money. But he was still God's prophet. And since God couldn't get through the prophet, he had to speak through the donkey. How can God do something like that? He's God. He does what he wants to do, when he wants to do, and how he wants to do. God will speak to you through your cat, through your dog. Yes, he will, because he's God. Didn't he do it for Peter? In Matthew chapter 26, at the arrest of Jesus, Peter denied Jesus the first time, the second time, then cursed and swore the third time he denied Jesus. And as Jesus had prophesied to Peter, Peter, before the cock crows, you would have denied me three times. So what did God do? He used a rooster to speak to Peter to bring the conviction upon his heart. When God speaks to us, he speaks to us how he wants to speak to us. Even if he has to speak to us to an animal, he speaks to us to nature. Glory to God. When the last time you've been to the beach, you see how the waves come up to the shore, but they know exactly when to stop and go back. They know exactly how far to go. Don't tell me God ain't speaking to that water and saying, don't go no farther than that. He'll speak through an animal, through nature, through the elements. Is that right? Then we read in our text that God also speaks to us through a dream, through a vision of the night. He speaks to us when we're in deep sleep, when we slumber on our beds. God speaks to us. Glory to God. You know, is it Acts? The book of Joel and the book of Acts says that in the last days I shall pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. I guess that makes me old because I dream a lot of dreams. And your young men shall see visions. And on my men servant and my maid servants, I shall pour out of my spirit. That is God speaking to us. Not only does God speak to us, God speaks through us. Every time you baptize in the Holy Ghost, God speaks through you. Is that right? So not only does God speak to us with dreams and visions, and when we're in deep slumber and deep sleep and we're slumbering on a bed, he speaks to us. He'll speak a word in our ears, and he'll speak a word in that third ear, the ear of the Spirit. This is what Jesus was talking about in John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he shall guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but he shall speak that which he hears, and he will speak it and declare it unto you. He'll tell you and he'll show you things to come. The Holy Spirit will speak to us however God chooses for him to speak to us. Is that right? Now stay with me. Now flip over to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. Chapter 19. Now let's talk about Elijah for a moment. Now here Elijah had fled from Jezebel, because Jezebel threatened to kill him because he had killed the prophets of Baal. Now, I want you to understand, this mighty, powerful prophet of God is running from a woman because he's afraid this woman is going to take his head off. So he heads through the wilderness on the run from this woman, and he happens to find a cave. and he goes inside the cave to hide out and to have a self-pity party. How many ever been there? You're feeling sorry for yourself. Come on. And you know why we have those moments where we feel sorry for ourselves? Because we're not listening to what God is saying. Because God will never call you sorry. And if God don't call you sorry, why are you acting sorry? Look at verse 11. Verse 11. Now he's in the cave. Then he said, that is, God said, he's speaking to the prophet Elijah, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. A still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Have you ever heard the voice of the Lord come to you and say, what are you doing? What are you doing here? What are you trying to do? Where are you trying to go? This is what God was saying to the prophet. Because the prophet was totally out of the will of God. It was never the will of God for the prophet to run from Jezebel, and never the will of God for the prophet to be overcome with fear and trepidation and feelings of loneliness and self-pity. What are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous. Now he's still going through. I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Isn't that interesting? He thought he was the only one. He thought he's the only one. See, that's what happens. We don't hear what God is saying. You'll be lifted up in self-righteousness. You think everybody wrong except you. You're the only person right. Elijah thought he was the only person right that was left. Look at verse 15. Then the Lord said to him, go return your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Please notice what God says to the prophet. Go back the same way you came. And I'm telling you, if we don't get in the habit of hearing the voice of the Lord, if we don't get in the habit of hearing what God is saying, we're going to find out we're doing nothing but spinning our wheels, going in the wrong direction in life. And when we finally do hear from God, God's going to say to us, go back the same way you came and do your first works over. God will never compromise. You'll never be able to negotiate with God a settlement. No, it has to be God's way. So he told the prophet, now go back the same way you came. But because the prophet had heard the word of the Lord, now all of a sudden, he's ready to return. Because now he has courage. Now he has that feeling on the inside that he has God's divine protection. And he only had that because he heard the word of the Lord. Now, many times, the voice of the Lord isn't spectacular. And that's why we miss it sometimes. We think we're going to hear some booming voice, some room-shaking voice. Oftentimes, the voice of the Lord is not very spectacular at all. As Elijah found out, the voice of the Lord sometimes, it comes to us very quietly, very gently, very subtly. And we miss him because we was expecting God to come another way. Now here we see that The wind began to blow when God dealt with Elijah. The wind blows a valley. It began to rip the rocks on the mountains. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And then the earth began to quake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. Then there was a fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. Then all of a sudden the prophet heard a still, small voice. And that's the voice that said to him, "What are you doing? What are you doing here? What are you doing at the place you are in your life right now? What are you doing there when you know deep down inside God wants you somewhere else, doing something else? Come on. What are you doing? What are you doing? Cut off with doubt, fear, and unbelief. Hanging around with low expectations. Not understanding that God calls you to be the head and not the tail. He called you to be above and not beneath. So what are you doing? When God speaks, we must perceive the voice of the Lord. And then we must respond affirmatively. Is that right? So the prophet, totally out of the will of God, driven by fear, loneliness, self-pity, self-righteousness, and it took the voice of the Lord to make a course correction. And I'm telling you, it's going to take the voice of the Lord for us to correct, because you know what? We are creatures of habit. We are creatures of conditioning. You will be continuing to do the same old, day in and day out until you hear the voice of the Lord. You'll carry this Bible under your arms, or however you carry it, and you will completely ignore the words of God in this book until God deals with you directly, and he may deal with you with a flash of lightning.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net. 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.